From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm your guest host, Scott Pukas. Our connection this hour takes place June 16th, 1994. Two young strangers meet on a train in Europe. An American, Jesse, and a French student returning to Paris, Celine. They strike up a conversation, flirtatious but meaningful too. As they're about to part their separate ways, they take a chance. They shoot their shot, if you will. Instantly enamored with each other, they get off the train together in Vienna. They wander the city together, laughing, bantering, stealing romantic glances. It's a magical evening, unforgettable even. But as the day ends and their sunrise deadline looms, they must make a decision. This, of course, is the plot to the 1995 indie romance gem Before Sunrise, directed by Richard Linklater. This iconic Valentine's Day movie is screening tonight, February 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Little Theater. And if you're just realizing now it's Valentine's Day and you need plans, we have you covered this hour. We'll preview what movies are playing here in Rochester, including at the Dryden Theater, where we have Down With Love tonight at 7:30 p.m., The Lady Eve Saturday at 2 p.m., and Sabrina Saturday at 7:30 p.m., all three of those projected on 35mm film at the Dryden Theater. Plus, we'll break down what makes for the ultimate Valentine's Day movie. Is it a classic rom-com? A mind-bender like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Or a tale of twisted love like Phantom Thread or Gone Girl? I'd like to welcome my guests this hour. We have Jared Case, curator of film exhibitions for the Dryden Theater at the George Eastman Museum. Welcome, Jared.
Oh, thanks, Scott. Happy to see you again.
We have Danielle Del Plato, member of the Greater Western New York Film Critics Association, GWNIFCA, and a VHS collector at Donnie's Video. I believe, Danielle, the proper term for that is VHS queen. Is that correct?
Yes, that is very correct.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we also have Joanna Lester, digital communications specialist at the University of Rochester, freelancer for City Magazine, and rom-com connoisseur.
You had me at hello, Scott.
Do you have business cards with rom-com connoisseur on
it? I will now.
I feel you should.
It's time.
And you should hand those out. Danielle, I'm going to start with you. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned you are a collector of VHS tapes. You have hundreds, nearly 1,000. So the big question is, what are you picking for today?
Okay, so I thought about this very long and hard, and I always come back to her, my girl Nora Ephron. So I'm pulling Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, that's a great pick. We will be talking about Nora Ephron this hour. That is a promise. Do not worry about that. Joanna, what's your ultimate Valentine's Day pick?
I have to go with When Harry Met Sally. So we're vibing in this room. We're on it. Yep.
Nora.
Forever.
She just gets us.
Forever.
Jared, so you, of course, curate at the Dryden Theater. What's the difference between picking a Valentine's Day movie that maybe you'd want to watch versus programming one at the Dryden?
Well, yeah, I was a little disappointed you didn't ask me what my pick for Valentine's Day was before we getting into the business.
Well, please, we do want to know.
I think probably if it was just for me, if I was watching it alone and not with my wife, I might pick L.A. Story with Steve Martin and Sarah Jessica Parker, just because of the mix of high and low humor and the fact that he actually changes the weather to keep his love with him. But to answer your actual question, it's not tricky, but you need to balance what you like versus what is going to be fulfilling to the audience. Luckily, I had each of those films that we're screening this weekend actually belongs to a different series. So sometimes, you know, if you look far enough out, you can arrange it so that it fits within a certain weekend. The Down With Love, which we're showing tonight, is actually a print that we recently received into the collection back in 2022. The collection is still growing at the museum. I chose that one to go along with actual Valentine's Day. Lady Eve, we're doing a Henry Fonda series currently, so that's an encore screening in that series. And Sabrina was my attempt to expand on what we're calling From Rochester With Love, a series of films featuring people who were born in or studied in or visited in Rochester. And of course, Audrey Hepburn was here quite frequently towards the end of her life. But then I just realized Jim Memmott was with us for a roundtable earlier this month, and he had an article talking about Humphrey Bogart and how he and his family would actually summer at Seneca Point up until they sold the house in like 1918. So both visitors to the Rochester area. So it just kind of all culminates in this wonderful weekend of romance.
Yeah, I did not realize that until I was reading your description. I'm like, Audrey Hepburn, who visited Rochester frequently. I'm like, how did I not know that?
Ironically, yeah. Our friend at the museum, Alan Buell, who runs the events, he's the events coordinator. It was his like first year there, and Audrey Hepburn was coming in to help with the Gregory Peck George Award ceremony. He didn't know who she was. So she tried to come in the private entrance, and Alan's like, no. You need to go to the public entrance. Nobody comes in through here. And of course, he was you know, corrected in what was going on. But that was his first experience with a Hollywood superstar.
Our viewers on YouTube just got a treat. So you got to see us all gasp, which normally you can't see on the radio, but now you can. So let's talk a little about Down With Love. And we have a clip that we'll get to in one moment. So again, this is 35 millimeter, Renee Zellweger, Ewan McGregor playing tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about this movie if someone is unfamiliar?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the audience was unfamiliar. It didn't do well when it came out, but it's really a love letter to film, specifically films of the 1960s, the Pillow Talk, Lover Come Back, Doris Day, Rock Hudson films. It's a pastiche that takes place in the 60s about a woman who's written a book called Down With Love, where she's a proponent of taking more of a male stance, or typically male stance at the time, where you're not emphasizing romantic love with sex. You're sort of separating those. So it's a sort of a battle of the sexes between her and Ewan McGregor playing a journalist who is sort of a hit master. He tries to write articles that take people down. So he's interested in taking her down and showing that she's actually a romantic at heart, while she's, you know, fighting for the rights of women to act as they would like. So if we want to set up the clip, this is actually an audio clip. The first time that they're meeting, although it's over the phone. So this is the first. This is setting up their tete-a-tete.
Okay, Rob, let's go to this clip, please.
First New York phone call.
Oh, it must be No Magazine. No one else has your number.
It must be Catch a Block.
Oh!
This is Barbara Nova.
This is Catch a Block.
Catch a Block. Catch a Block.
No Magazine?
Oh, yes, of course. What can I do for you, Mr. Block?
I think it's what I can do for you, Miss Novak. I'd like to invite you to lunch so we can discuss your book.
Well, that sounds very nice, but I'll have to check my schedule to see when I'm available.
Well, we've already ordered. Can you be in the mahogany room in 10 minutes?
I'm afraid that will be impossible, Mr. Block.
Well, some other time then.
Right. I'll see you in 15.
So, yes, very apparent 1960s vibes there. I love that little scream at the end. I knew it was coming, and I forgot about it. So you had mentioned this maybe is underrated. So I'm going to ask our guest here. Joanna, have you seen Down With Love?
I saw Down With Love in the theater when it came out. Ewan McGregor is so charming in this movie. He looks, I mean, he's a babe, but he looks so good in the 60s aesthetic and the perfectly tailored suits and his perfectly coiffed hair. Oh, they're so good. It's such a charming movie.
Danielle, have you seen Down With Love?
I haven't seen it, but I am very familiar with the production design because it's iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't either. I think so. I should mention to our listeners too, who don't know, I work for the Little Theater. Jared, of course, is at the Dryden, and one of my favorite things of when I introduce a film or we talk about it is introducing an audience to a movie for the first time. Mm-hmm. So no matter how popular or iconic, there's always people coming in who have not seen this movie yet and watching that and the communal experience with a crowd on the big screen. There's just nothing that really can replicate that. So again, if you need plans, we have you covered tonight here in Rochester.
To quote another romance, ditto.
Jared, do you want to give us, so if someone's listening, like, oh, Down With Love, I'm in. How could they get tickets? How can they find out more information?
Ever since the pandemic, we've been selling tickets online. So you can go to eastman.org/Dryden Theater, or, you know, there's 500 seats in the theater. And unless something really drastic happens, I don't think we'll sell out. So you can always come to the door. Doors open at 6:45, and we sell tickets at the door.
Awesome. And of course, we'll be offering a lot of movie recommendations this hour. We would like to hear from you as well. So you can call in at 844-295-TALK or 585-263-9994, or you can leave a comment on our YouTube stream. So I think maybe we're going to shift and talk a little bit about Nora Ephron now, because we have to, especially since you all propped it up. So Danielle, what are some of your other favorite Nora Ephron ones? Is Sleepless in Seattle the top one, or are there other ones here?
So I think When Harry Met Sally is definitely top. I just don't have it on VHS. So like if anyone wants to donate, you know, I'm not going to say no. But I mean, she is just so raw with like her screenplays. There's like something very real about them and relatable that it's not like shellacked and cliches, you know? But yeah, I think When Harry Met Sally is like the ultimate Valentine's Day movie. It's also like the ultimate Christmas, fall, New Year's movie. Like watch
There's
it every
no wrong
day.
Time for it,
right? Yeah. But yeah, she's everything. She's perfect.
My memory of When Harry Met Sally, we played it at the Little in 2020. Valentine's Day, we reopened our main theater, Theater One, for the first time, played this movie. I remember I was like, I need to capture this moment. So I took a photo of the crowd. There was like people kissing. It was very romantic. And then we closed for 13 months, which was just a month later in March. So it's still a special movie, but also I have that memory going on there. So Danielle, you'd mentioned you don't have that on VHS yet. If someone has a copy and they're interested, can they follow you on Instagram? How can they follow Donnie's video on Instagram?
Donnie's video at Donnie's, D-O-N-N-I-E-S underscore video. DM me if you have VHS tapes. I'll take any of them.
All right, Joanna, what are some things that you really, when you watch a Nora Ephron movie, what are the things you're feeling? What is this doing to you?
Oh my gosh, Scott, all of the feelings. I think that she just perfectly captures how people speak to each other. Like her dialogue is just pristine. It's so specific. It's so if you've read Heartburn, if you haven't seen Heartburn the movie, you should read Heartburn the book, which is by Nora Ephron, based on her marriage. It includes recipes in the book too, which is like always a selling point for me as well. Like spaghetti carbonara, like that you like eat
and
in bed,
the like vinaigrette. It's, and like the vinaigrette. I actually make the vinaigrette
because it's perfect,
yes.
Like Nora Ephron.
Yes,
she was just iconic. She was such a she just wrote love letters to New York City. Like that was her vibe. That was her aesthetic. And nobody did it like her. She has such a short filmography. Like she didn't make that many films. So I think we're so lucky with the ones that we did get. You know, her You've Got Mail, I think, is a little more divisive. I think people don't love it as much, but it holds such a special place in my heart too. I was at the Little when you guys screened that, I think last year. So, I mean, I feel like we could just talk about Nora all day. I think, I don't think anybody has done it better.
I'm very happy you brought up You've Got Mail. We do have a clip, which we'll get to in 1 second. Ooh. But can you tell me a little bit about why that's one of your favorites and maybe why there is maybe some contention about it as well?
That one I've probably seen You've Got Mail way more than most other movies across my lifetime. It was just one of those that I had on DVD. I had it on VHS at some point, I believe. It was just like pop it in. And so it became so familiar to me. I do think Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan together are just, you know, as with Sleepless in Seattle, like they just have that really lovely natural chemistry. I think they're so like, there's something every man about and every woman about the two of them, even though they're, you know, kind of cute and quirky together. I think Meg Ryan in You've Got Mail is just, who didn't want to own a tiny bookstore? Who didn't want someone sending them a bouquet of freshly sharpened pencils as a token of their love? All of us. So I think it hits at something very natural and pure about love that not a lot of other movies do.
And you helped me set up this clip that we're going to play perfectly.
So glad.
It's really, I wanted something that kind of showed the writing and the banter between Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. So this is a part where Tom Hanks kind of has a big declaration. So let's take a listen.
You know, sometimes I wonder.
What?
Well, if I hadn't been Fox Books and you hadn't been the shop around the corner and you and I had just met.
I know.
Yeah. I would have asked for your number. And I wouldn't have been able to wait 24 hours before calling you up and saying, hey, how about some coffee or, you know, drinks or dinner or a movie? For as long as we both shall live.
Joe.
And you and I would never have been at war. And the only thing we'd fight about would be which video to rent on a Saturday night.
Well, who fights about that?
Well, some people. Not us.
We would never.
If only
that. So good.
It's so good. So Jarrett, we're listening to that a little. As someone who programs films, what about like Nora Ephron's writing do you think really just resonates with audiences who are coming to see these classics in a movie theater?
Well, I was thinking about that as we were talking. I think Joanna put it perfectly. I mean, her dialogue is so naturalistic and it balances this aspirational aspect of romantic comedies where you want to see them be happy, but it also faces real-world problems that are not necessarily handled in the same way. You know, she gets deep into the characters and what they're feeling and how they react to each other. So, you know, When Harry Met Sally would definitely be my favorite. But another one that's less seen and probably less romantic in this context as well is a film called This Is My Life, where it's not necessarily about a romantic partnership, but it's about a single mother and her two daughters and how they're dealing with that. She's becoming a stand-up comedian, yes. I believe, at the time. So that's a lot of fun, too.
And I should mention, which we have not mentioned yet, but we won't have big spoilers this hour, but we are going to have minor spoilers. So, yeah, if you're just tuning in, we're talking Valentine's Day movies. We have some recommendations. We're diving deep into the genre. I'm joined by Jarrett Case, curator of film exhibitions at the Tryon Theater, Danielle Del Plato, member of the Greater Western New York Film Critics Association, GWNIFCA, and Joanna Lester, who is our rom-com connoisseur. So we are talking about rom-coms and Nora Ephron, and this is something we chatted a little bit about before we were on the air, but I was looking and I'm like looking up these clips for Nora Ephron and thinking they don't make them like this anymore, and then I'm like, wait, do they really make like I don't see as many rom-coms. Joanna, is the rom-com genre, is this, I don't want to say dying, but are we seeing less and less of these type
it's
of
really
movies?
Really distressing. Yes, we are. I was kind of like going through and sort of like trying to identify some like recent rom-coms, and there's so few and far between that are worth recommending. I could come up with like a few off, you know, that I jotted down, but it is. I think it's a tricky genre to nail to like really get right, and I think that. Maybe movie-going trends are saying one thing, but I also think people always want to see that kind of story, and I think there is a market for it, and the fact that they're not being made is a real shame and is a real loss for, like, movie-going culture.
Mm-hmm. Danielle, do you agree? Do you think we're seeing fewer rom-coms?
I think, like, we saw last year with Anyone But You, like, audiences really want to see rom-coms. Like, they do really well in the box office. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we're kind of living in a world where everything is IP driven. So what's being made is Marvel. And when we want to see romance and love, studios don't want to like shell out the money for that. So it's unfortunate. And like, do I play the lotto every week to try to like start a production company? Absolutely. But it's sad. Some of the romance movies that we are getting are also straight to streaming, which is a big bummer. But maybe it'll change. Maybe. One day.
Yeah, Jared, are you seeing that when you look to program? If you are looking for a rom-com, are you always digging to something that's like decades old at this point?
Well, sure. I mean, this year is the 130th anniversary of the first actual film program. So there's a lot to choose from over that 130 years. But the rom-com, the budget of the rom-com tends to fall in that middle ground where it's not low budget enough to be worthwhile to make, but it's not big budget enough where they're going to just throw a whole bunch of money at it and try to push it as a big thing. So I think a lot of the romantic comedy aspects get shoved into other films with Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds, where they're having a romantic thing and it's comedic, but it's also part of a big action epic. And I was just reading, as I was doing research about Down With Love, there was this wonderful article in the New York Times on the 20th anniversary. And the author was saying that, you know, there's expectations for romantic comedy, that are difficult to meet and also make it new. So when we consolidate all these studios, there's all these studio notes that are not making anything original and new, but still trying to hit that expectation. So it tends to be samey over and over again, which doesn't create that desire for seeing something slightly different, but still creating that aspirational aspect.
A part of it is, I don't agree with this, but do we not have the movie stars for this? So, Danielle, you mentioned Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, which seem to be pretty big movie stars, but maybe not to the Tom Hanks level. I mean, do you agree with this? Do we have movie stars for these rom-coms?
I think the movie star has changed a lot. Like, I got to bring him up, but my boy Tom Cruise, we don't have anyone like him right now, you know? And that's why we're still watching movies with Tom Cruise. It's just like the whole dynamic of the movie star is very much kind of skewed because of the influencer. I hate to say it, but that's kind of like the way society is going in, unfortunately. Like, I would love for us to have like a new Tom Cruise or like a new Meg Ryan, but it's just like we don't have the movies to support that to begin with, and then we just don't have the star power. So
At least until you win the lotto.
I know. Maybe I'll find the next Tom Cruise.
And Joanna, so we were talking a little beforehand about types of rom-coms, and I asked each one of our guests of what they want to talk about. And so we were talking about Tom Cruise. You talked about one that we don't see a lot, which is sports romance. Oh, of course, man. Jerry Maguire, which is one of the ultimate classics.
It's a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie. I loved that you brought Tom Cruise up.
Because, I'll always bring him up.
Okay, good. Kindred spirit. Jerry Maguire is, I think I watch that movie like once a year without fail. I think it's perfect. I think the dialogue is perfect. That movie is great. I love a sports romance movie. I love a movie about hot people being good at their jobs, which I think also intersects regularly with like a romance movie and especially like a sports romance movie. So you have a redemption arc, but you also have a romance built in. I love everything about that. Jerry Maguire, Wimbledon, which I think is really underrated, with Paul Bettany and Kirsten Dunst. Love and Basketball, which is just absolutely gorgeous. If you've never seen that, I feel like that's also maybe undersung and underappreciated. Rent that, stream that immediately. Love a sports romance movie.
Now, when you listed some off in your email to me, I did see Challengers as well, which
a little darker, perhaps, but still a little bit of like romance element to it across several variations in that movie, I think. But again, has that like competing for a person, competing in a sport. There's similar story arcs happening, I think, in Challengers, which I loved.
And I should mention Challengers, of course, won the Gwyneth Movie of the Year, which Danielle voted on, and recently screened again at the Dryden Theater as well, which was watching that movie on the big screen is so electric. Jared, any thoughts on sports rom-coms? Would you like to see more? Do you think that it's something maybe we will see more of?
The two loves of my life are films and baseball. So I've seen plenty of baseball films that have romance. I think my wife would probably punch me in the face if I didn't bring up For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner as somebody who's trying to pitch a perfect game while still reflecting back on his relationship. And I think there's romance in it, but Major League has always got to return to that one.
All right. So we're going to take a short break in a while, but I do want to read. We do have some comments going on here. Michael, who emailed in, says, my favorite is Before and After Sunrise. So I'm reading this off as we're going to actually be talking about Before Sunrise after the break. This is confusing to me. It's like being able to observe two real people interacting. He says, I'm going to watch them again tonight. Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck is also an excellent movie for today.
Perfect.
So if you're listening now, we're talking about Valentine's Day movies. We have tons of recommendations. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back for more Connections.
I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the next Connections, Black History Month specials coming your way. The first hour from the BBC World Service, and then the second hour, a conversation hosted by activist DeRay McKesson, who celebrates Black history through authors and politicians who have tried to rethink and rewrite the narratives that we tell ourselves about our shared history as a country, who we are as a nation. That's Monday.
President Trump has been making changes at breakneck speed, and he's been using emergency powers to do so.
This time, the Trump administration is much more confident and much more emboldened.
I'm Ailsa Chang. Hear more about the emergency powers that Trump has been using and the very few checks and balances on them on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
All right, we're back this hour with more connections. If you're just tuning in, we're talking Valentine's Day movies. I'm joined here in studio. We have Jared Case from Dryden Theater, Danielle Del Pato, VHS queen at Donnie's Video, and Joanna Lester, rom-com connoisseur. Now, during my intro a little, I teased Before Sunrise, which is playing tonight at the Little at 7:30. It's a 30th anniversary of this film. Came out in 95. So it takes place, as I mentioned in my intro, June 16th, 1994. So I have a little story about the first time I watched this, which was on June 16th. And it was very emotional to me because it was after a recent breakup, and both my last two long-term partners, their birthday was June 16th.
Weird.
So I'm like, do I just date people born June 16th? Like, what is happening? So I watched this movie for the first time and felt a ton of emotions, but it has one of those vibes I really like, which is just people hanging out. It's just, it's very romantic, just these two people. There isn't a lot happening, like not a lot of plot, but it's very charming and whimsical. And then, of course, it's part of a trilogy, which I watched later in December 2023. The Dryden played all three of the Before movies right in a row, which I went to all three of them, felt a lot of emotion.
How were you feeling after
I was feeling great. Watching great cinema energizes me. It was very emotional, though. It was tough. Jared, what was the reaction when you showed all these Before movies right in a row?
Well, the personal reaction as I was rewatching them for the screenings, I was like, wow, I'm relating more and more to the later movies. Like, the older I get, the more I relate to the later stages of the relationship. But Linklater is so good at capturing that. And as you said, Scott, it's the hangout. They're all within 24-hour periods, and it's just about these two people talking and relating or not relating. And the conflict that comes out of not being able to express who they are internally. So I think there was this sort of adoration for the films, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring them all in between Christmas and New Year's, one of these series that we like to do. But I think there's, you know, it's got that fanatic base of fans that really love the films.
Mm-hmm. So Danielle, do you have a favorite of the Before trilogy?
I think Before Sunset is probably my favorite. Mm,
which is the second
one.
Correct.
But I think Before Midnight is really underrated because, like, Linklater sets you up to be like, love exists in the first two, and then he just takes it all away, and you're like, wait, what do you mean? So I don't know. I think, like, as a whole, it's amazing. But, like, if you really want to feel love, watch the second one. If you're like, I hate love, watch the third one. It's like a little bit
something
for everyone. Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think that's the point, is that, you know, it, as I become older and the relationship I'm in becomes longer, it's about love not being necessarily just an emotion, but it's about work. It's about making it work. It's about commitment and dedication and how difficult that is. And it may seem like not loving from the outside due to the actions, but the reason that they're still together and still communicating, even if it's in this very vehement way, is because they do love each other and they want it to work. So that's what resonates with me about the last film.
Now, we have a clip that we're going to go to in just a second. So again, Before Sunrise is playing tonight at the Little at 7:30. You can go to thelittle.org for tickets. So in this clip, this is the beginning of it all. This is their train ride. This is when they take a chance, when they're like, maybe we should do this, and it sets up the whole movie. So let's take a listen.
All right, I have an admittedly insane idea, but if I don't ask you this, it's just, you know, it's going to haunt me the rest of my life.
What?
I want to keep talking to you. You know, I have no idea what your situation is, but I feel like we have some kind of connection, right?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right. Well, great. So listen, here's the deal. This is what we should do. You should get off the train with me here in Vienna and come check out the town.
What?
Come on. It'll be fun.
What would we do?
I don't know. All I know is I have to catch an Austrian Airlines flight tomorrow morning at 9:30, and I don't really have enough money for a hotel, so I was just going to walk around, and it'd be a lot more fun if you came with me. And if I turn out to be some kind of psycho, you know, you just get on the next train. All right. Think of it like this. Jump ahead 10, 20 years, okay? And you're married. And only your marriage doesn't have that same energy that it used to have. You know, you start to blame your husband. You start to think about all those guys you've met in your life and what might have happened if you picked up with one of them, right? Well, I'm one of those guys. That's me. You know, so think of this as time travel from then to now to find out what you're missing out on. See, what this really could be is a gigantic favor to both you and your future husband to find out that you're not missing out on anything. I'm just as big a loser as he is, totally unmotivated, totally boring, and you made the right choice and you're really happy.
Let me get my bag.
And that, of course, sets up Before Sunrise. Ethan Hawke and Julie Depley, very charming there. Joanna, is this something that you think happens in real life now? Are people doing this? Or is this happening out there?
In that little, like, part of my brain that, like, lives, like, in, like, rom-com land, the other part of my brain is, like, really cynical. But there is, like, a very, like, small part that, yeah, I think that does. I like to think that that does happen, that that has happened. Nobody's ever done it better than Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. I think especially if you like grew up watching like Dead Poets Society, Ethan Hawke, and you get to, you know, Before Sunrise, Ethan Hawke, you're like, oh, okay, yep, this is totally his, this is what would happen to him. This is exactly how it would go.
Danielle, same question. Is this out, is romance out there like this in the trade in Europe?
No, sorry, it's not. If you want to be like, I don't know, like we're just on apps. That's all that's happening. Like if someone wants to sweep me off my feet in a train station, like I'm not going to say no, but like it's not going to happen.
You think they'll be more likely to be on Hinge and be looking at you from behind?
No thanks.
Jared, do you think like with technology and dating apps that has maybe changed even movies like this? We haven't seen as many vibes one, although I've seen one that's similar that I'm going to bring up in 1 second, but are we seeing fewer of this type of movie?
Well, sure. Yeah, I think as Danielle points out, you know, we're not only focused on the screens in front of us, but so much of what our life is comes from that screen in front of us. So we've got the dating apps or connecting with other people. It's I can imagine being on a train in Europe and not wanting to talk to necessarily anybody to give them a chance to sweep me off my feet. But it's listening to that clip, you know, that with the cynical part of your brain, I can really think like, wow, this is kind of creepy. He's trying to encourage her to get off the train with him. This would never fly now, I don't think, and not feel completely safe.
So the movie that I hinted that is, I think, similar is Rye Lane,
which came out in
2022, maybe. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, so this is a movie that we would love to screen at the Little, and I'm sure probably you'd have interest in the Dryden, but it's unfortunately one that is not allowed to be screened in theaters. So this is, you can find it in a streaming service and watch it there, but it has very similar plot where there's a breakup, there's just vibes. I think it takes place over a very short period of time as well. And again, it's just one that's charming and funny. So as I was thinking, like, we don't see movies like this quite anymore. I'm like, oh, wait, Rye Lane is one. So they're out there. They just are maybe harder to find. So we have a couple other comments here on YouTube. This is from another member of Gwinnifka, Matt Passantino, who is also the city newspaper critic. He says, my best friend's wedding is one of the best rom-coms. And he says, we love an anti-rom-com. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he says, it stars the ultimate Bracco bro, which is Julia Roberts, Erin Brockovich. So I was reading that mostly because, so Matt had brought up here anti-rom-com. Mm-hmm. I teased this a little in my intro talking about movies that you'd watch on Valentine's Day that, yeah, maybe are anti, maybe they aren't rom-com, maybe they're about twisted love, like I said, something like Gone Girl. Joanna, is this the type of movie we should be watching today, this
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I watch them all, honestly. But yeah, I think there is something to be said for like a dark I sort of hesitate to call Gone Girl even like a dark romance because it is right. so messed up, but it's so perfectly executed. Ben Affleck has never been better. You just know he's somebody who, like, he feels this character so deeply. He's so good. He's such a scumbag. But we kind of root for him in the end, right? Which is the magic of that movie. But yeah, I think you can totally watch. Go for dark romance today. Absolutely.
And Gone Girl is kind of that type of movie, too, where it's like the characters, it's like they aren't good people. I wouldn't want to know them in real life, but they're meant for each other. This is romance here. And we've seen that with other stuff like Phantom Thread as well. Mm-hmm. Jared, do you have any favorites in that anti-romance or twisted love category?
Well, I think there's one we just showed last year, a little film called Vertigo, where it's it feels like love from Scotty's perspective, but from the outside, not necessarily. And the way he goes about trying to achieve that love is a little creepy. But I know that Danielle's got one right on the tip of her tongue.
I do. Wild at Heart, David Lynch, my boy. I like my romance movies to have like a little dark to them, right? So also Fatal Attraction, really, like, I watch that maybe twice a year, like Valentine's Day and like around Halloween, you know, because why not? But I don't know, you don't have to love and like watch the rom-coms, watch something a little crazy.
Get a little cynical. You prefer these cynical ones?
Kind of, yeah. A little. You know, I mean, love Nora. She's a gem, she's a god. But like Fatal Attraction, like, I'm not going to say no, you know?
I can't move my chair further away. I'm still being camera.
Oh, you're locked in.
Okay, I'm locked in.
So that anti-love sentiment, there's so many different, like, examples bouncing around in my head of that. Are there any other ones that you really would want to recommend to people? Jared, maybe you have some other ones?
Dark ones. I guess I don't necessarily center that when I'm thinking about romantic films, that darkness. Vertigo was the one that really jumped out. But I suppose we could go into other genres that have that sort of edge of romance, but I'm not sure right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's one of the ones that a genre category that I really like is sci-fi. Mm. So I was trying to think of one that, and I don't know if this is anti-romance, but as I mentioned, I'm wearing an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind shirt. We played that last Valentine's Day at the Little. In my head, that's a very romantic movie. I'm like, let's play that. But of course, if anyone's not familiar with the plot, it is about a breakup, and Jim Carrey's character wants to forget. So he goes to Lacuna Inc., the company that erases Clementine, Kate Winslet's character, from his brain, which isn't what you'd think of as a typical Valentine's Day movie, but I think it really works as a Valentine's Day watch. Are we in agreement with that here?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, and we had a huge crowd, so I think most people did agree. So I do like that science fiction angles. I feel you could touch upon more creative aspects of romance. So it's whether it's time travel or time loop. Do you have any favorites, Joanna? Perhaps a time travel one?
Well, we did talk briefly too offline about Palm Springs, and I think that's one of the best romantic movies of the past, I don't know, 5-7 years. It's so funny. It's so charming. It does have a scientific bent to it that really kind of sets it apart from other movies. Because I think, too, when you don't get a lot of sci-fi rom-com. Like, you might get a science fiction romance, which I think is what Eternal Sunshine is. I don't think there's a ton of like calm in Eternal Sunshine, but Palm Springs is so funny. It's so dark. They have such good chemistry. I recommend that all the time.
So we're going to go to a clip in a second of Palm Springs that kind of sets up what it's about. But one of my favorite genres of any story is the time loop. I love it so much. And with a movie, it's tough because you have Groundhog Day, which is such a standard, so iconic. And to try to make a movie like that, it's like, oh, that's difficult. But Palm Springs, I think it just takes some creative, inventive turns. Of course, Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti are so charming together, which helps a ton. So this clip here is going to set up kind of the premise of Palm Springs. Let's take a look.
Guess you followed me.
What's going on?
I tried to stop you.
But what is this?
When is this?
Yeah, about that. So, this is today. Today is yesterday, and tomorrow is also today. It's one of those infinite time loop situations you might have heard about.
That I might have heard about?
Yeah.
Classic infinite time loop situation. Listen, I always tell partners or friends, I'm like, if you come up to me and you tell me you are in a time loop, I will believe you, because I feel that's usually one of the main problems is someone's in a time loop and they just, no one believes them.
Are you hoping that that happens someday too? Maybe a little bit? Yeah, I think you might be.
I think I would thrive.
Yeah.
I think I would be in my element on a time loop. So other sci-fi romances that I was thinking of, and I can go to you all as well. Molly and Max in the Future. Has anyone seen this
one? No.
So this is a newer one, played at part of Anomaly Film Festival, and then came back to the Little. It's basically When Harry Met Sally met with Futurama. So it's like the will they, won't they vibe, but with zany space stuff happening as well, which I absolutely love. I'm sure, like, if anyone's listening, they'll be like, say no more. I'm in. I don't need to know anymore. About Time, which is, of course, mm-hmm. time travel romance, which we talked a little bit beforehand. I think we all adored that, right? Mm-hmm. We're all fans.
Yeah. So good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. One that I really also like, which came up, so at our little podcast, we were talking about movies, and there's a movie called Spontaneous. Are we familiar with this at all?
Is that with the exploding?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So it's a teen rom-com, and there is something happening to these teens in the town where they spontaneously combust. So it's gory, it's like over the top, bloody. But despite that, it's very sweet and romantic. Brian Duffield, the director, did a great job with it. And so that kind of, I think, fits both the sci-fi and that, like, maybe anti-romance or not. It's a romantic movie, but it also involves a lot of blood and guts, which isn't typically what you think of. But that's why I like touching upon these different type of genres. So one thing where this hour is going by so quickly, I'm realizing. But one thing that reminded me of is the blood and the guts is oftentimes Valentine's Day is a day that you're going on a date to a movie. In talking with coworkers, I found a lot of people in long-term or happy relationships, their first movie that they saw together were in some cases what we'd consider a not very good first date movie. I have a colleague here in City Magazine who, him and his fiance, their first movie they saw was The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yes, which if anyone has seen it, you'll know, not the best date movie. I have a colleague at The Little who, again, is in a very happy long-term relationship. First date movie was Midsommar. Ari Aster's movie, which kind of falls, we're not going to spoil anything, but kind of falls in the good for her category. Joanna, do you have any story or example of this type of thing?
Yeah. So shout out to Josh from AP Physics in 1998, because we went on a first date to see Saving Private Ryan, which, great movie. I cried for 3 hours straight, essentially, to the point where he was like, I remember him looking at me just like really wondering, are you okay? Like, are we going to make it out of here okay? Are you going to pull it together? So great movie, not a great date movie, just generally, definitely not a great first date movie. Just sobbing uncontrollably, sort of like reassuring pats on the hand.
Was there a thought at one point that would be a good date movie?
I don't really know how it even happened. It was a really long time ago, but I think we were like, oh yeah, this movie's supposed to be great. Let's go. Just instantly regretted that.
So I was tricked into, I went to one that I thought would be a good early relationship date movie. It's a film called Goodnight Mommy. It's a European one. It looked like, the trailer made it look like just kind of a fun horror movie, which I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. But it's not that. It involves a lot of torture, a lot of like children torturing a woman. It's what you would call not a good date movie. But it makes for a good story.
Sure.
So Jared, if you were programming something and you wanted to kind of have a bad first date movie, is there anything that comes to mind?
My first date with my wife was to Contact, so not so bad there, although I do still have a crush on Jodie Foster. So, but I was just thinking as you were talking that we're still creating first dates now. I assume somebody's first date with their girlfriend was to Anora, which would have been interesting, especially if the guy was the one that recommended it. But a bad first date movie, Eraserhead.
Which, that's a great one.
Which we're showing next month, at the end of the month. What other bad first date? Something where it's really creepy. And especially, you know, not necessarily gory, but, you know, really in their personalities, creepy. Ooh, Audition.
Ooh.
There you go.
Danielle, do you have any examples of this?
So I actually, when I start to date someone, I have like a litmus test movie, which is Tusk by Kevin Smith. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's basically a guy kidnaps another guy and turns him into a walrus. And so like if you can make it through that film, like you're a good hang. Like maybe I'll hang out with you again.
The,
you know,
Tusk test.
Yeah.
That should be like an official movie thing. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's a time. Not gonna lie.
Is it kind of like along the lines of The Substance in a way? Except for not Oscar nominated.
If someone was being turned into a walrus. So
I do like that. I think you could talk me into that. It's a romantic movie being turned into a walrus. I think it works. So we are running out of time, but Jared, before we go, we're gonna switch gears again. Do you want to give us another rundown of what people can watch tonight and tomorrow at the Dryden?
Yes. Tonight we are screening Down With Love, the 2003 film that's a 1960s pastiche of 60s rom-coms with Doris Day and Rock Hudson. Stars Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger in the leads. Tomorrow afternoon we have The Lady Eve, part of our Henry Fonda for President series, with Henry Fonda and Barbara Stanwyck in a classic screwball comedy. And tomorrow night we are bringing in Rochester visitors Audrey Hepburn and Humphrey Bogart to show us once again Sabrina, which was a blind spot for me until I started doing research for this series. And it's just a great film. I should have trusted Billy Wilder, and I didn't.
I love canceling off a movie blind spot. Yeah. One. Like, it's one of my favorite things. If anyone's listening, some that we have going on tonight at the Little, there is Before Sunrise, which again is 7:30 p.m. And one that I haven't mentioned yet, which is a 4K restoration, 60th anniversary of The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, which is a film, a musical that inspired La La Land and countless others. So I think if you're in Rochester and you need plans and want to see a movie,
come down East Avenue.
East Avenue. I would go to both. Go to Dryden.
Exactly.
And the Little.
I might go to the Little at 2:30 before I go back into work. So
it's the right move. So, you know, we had been talking a lot this hour about Valentine's Day movies, and usually the thought is you're watching with a partner, or Galentine's Day, maybe you're watching with a group of friends. But one of my absolute favorite things is going to a movie by myself, a solo thing. And I think Valentine's Day is perfect for that, to go see a movie, whether it's one at the Little or the Dryden. Especially, Jared, I haven't told you this, but when I go see a movie at the Dryden, I feel like a character in a movie or a show that goes to see, like, in the middle of the day, just a movie at this art house and has this magical experience. That's always how I feel when I go to the Dryden.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you.
So I just feel, and I'll go to you, Joanna, first. Do you feel Valentine's Day is good for that, a solo watch as well?
Sure. I think everybody in this room agrees there's no bad time to go to a movie or to watch a movie. So
absolutely.
Given that, yeah, absolutely. Take yourself on a date. Get the good popcorn. Get the good snacks. Absolutely. I think going to a movie by yourself is such a treat and such a gift. Also, you don't have to, like, capitulate and see what somebody else wants to see. You can just go and see whatever you want. So feels like a little bit of self-care.
Yeah, I think once you realize that, like, going to a movie, so it's like you have the power. You
yes.
can do whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Danielle,
like
Are you a fan of solo movie going?
I usually only go to the movie solo because, like, I sit wherever I want, I eat whatever I want, I see whatever I want. Like, it's amazing. It is like self-care, honestly. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the Little, you could go to the cafe and get like a little wine and like treat yourself. It's very nice. I mean, I'm all about it. So
thanks for that pitch, too.
Yeah.
Which does sound like a fun evening. Jared, how about you? You're a fan of the solo movie, I'm guessing?
I like watching solo VHS screenings. Same. But yeah, absolutely. It's my schedule takes me away most nights, so the ability to get out and see everything that I want to see with family or my wife is near impossible. So when the Little offers Friday afternoon matinees, it's wonderful, or getting out to one of the other ones, and yeah, all the time.
Do you ever like to? One thing I like to do too when I go to movies solo is to chat with other people. Do you see people conversing when they go to the drive-in and making friends?
More often, the films I go to, I hear people complaining on the way out. It's like when I saw A Tree of Life and the couple was sitting down near this, that was the worst film I've ever seen. Which I did not gauge them. They seemed pretty upset, but I disagreed.
Do you? I don't know if any of the. I think some of our Twisted Love type ones, like maybe Tusk, we would get a similar reaction of people coming.
Tusk, you would get walkouts.
Is Dryden going to play Tusk next year on Valentine's Day? Can we make this happen?
I will be seated.
I will see what happens.
You notice I didn't say we were going to play at the Little. I was like, that could be the Dryden one.
It's the arty place. Yeah.
Maybe both. It could be a double feature.
Oh,
like
nice.
Tusk matinee at the Little at some point, then go down East Ave and do the Dryden and check it out. Could be the move.
It's not like we've never played the same film on the same night at the same time before. Die Hard.
All right. Can you give us a quick rundown? If someone wants to buy tickets or get more information on the movies playing tonight, where can they go?
Eastman.org/Dryden Theater, or just come to the box office.
There you have it.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you again to my guest. We have Jared Case from the Dryden Theater, Danielle Del Plato of Greater Western New York Film Critics Association and VHS Queen, Donnie's Video, and Joanna Lester, who is our rom-com connoisseur and freelancer for City Magazine. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our wonderful crew behind the glass, the best in the business. Have a great weekend.